It's the dictionary.
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 It's the dictionary. Hello, word nerds, and welcome to another riveting episode of the podcast called The Dictionary. Didn't know what I wanted to call this. This is an extraordinary episode because we have a whole bunch of more extra words, and there's going to be some fun stuff to talk about, I hope, I think. All right, the first word in this episode is extra point, two words. Noun from circa 1949. This is a point gained on a conversion in football. And if you don't know football, that means nothing. It means nothing. Isn't this just when you get the touchdown, which is 6 points, and then the kicker person gets to have a chance to kick the ball through the uprights for the extra point? It's on a conversion? Did they convert the touchdown? I don't know. I thought maybe the conversion was going to the next set of downs, but maybe I don't know. I don't really watch the football so much, but it's an extra point. And it's from 1949. Football has been going on for a while. So did they invent the extra point in 1949? When? We're going to do a quick little search for when football... Football. When football start. I guess invented. History of American football. 1892. 1892, I guess. The origin of professional football. They were getting not a lot of money back then for football. Okay. Extra point. 1949. Let's do a sound effect that's going to go... Phone home. The next word is extrapolate. Verb from 1874, and we are starting with transitive. Number one, to infer from values within an already observed interval. And I feel like I have some gunk in my eyeball or something. Let's get rid of that. And let's see, the thing that we are inferring would be values of a variable in an unobserved interval. So let's read it all together with the parentheses. Ready, set, go. To infer values of a variable in an unobserved interval from values within an already observed interval. And I don't know what we're talking about, but it sounds kind of interesting. Basically, you're getting information from a thing, right? That's what extrapolate is. We'll probably talk more about that. Oh, there's only two more definitions, but they're very long. 2A, to protect, extend, or expand into an area not known or experienced so as to arrive at a usually conjectural knowledge of the unknown area. Woo-wee! Let's see. The thing that you are projecting, extending, or expanding would be known data or experience. And was there another parentheses part, or it's just an example? Yeah. So you are projecting, extending, or expanding your already known experience or data. You're adding to what you already know into an area not known or experienced so as to arrive at a usually conjectural knowledge of the unknown area. So you know this and you don't know this, and you're just adding on to the stuff that you don't know. You're learning about the stuff that you don't know so you can add it to the stuff that you do know, I guess. We have an example. Extrapolates present trends to construct an image of the future. Ah, okay. Yes, this is where you see, okay, you see a pattern in how things are going, and you can say, well, I can kind of look into the future. If I follow that pattern for the next 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, 100 years, we can get an idea of what this thing is going to be like. Computer prices, prices in general, technology. I've talked about that, the speed of technology and how quickly it's progressing. Any sort of trend, I don't know, weather trends maybe. So that's when the smart scientist people, they will do their computer models to look at the trends and see where is it going to go? What can we predict? And then you're extrapolating that information into the future. And this is very helpful for things. Just for things, for stuff. Yeah, it's just a fascinating thing to, like, anybody can be a time traveler in a way. You can be a time traveler in some sort of way by looking at how things are going. You can look at your own life. You can extrapolate what you think your future might be based on where your life has gone for how many ever years you've been alive. You are on a certain path. Now, there could be things that come in that change that path. You can't predict those, probably. But if everything sort of goes the same, you can be like, well, this part of my life is going to lead to this part, and this part's going to lead to this part. And you could just sort of predict, I think, a lot of that. When you look back, you can look forward. You can look forward by looking back. It's all a big circle, kind of. Okay, now we have 2B. This is to predict by projecting past experience or known data. I mean, our example led me to talk about that, which then we had it right there in the next definition. As in, extrapolate public sentiment on one issue from known public reaction on others. You know how the public reacted to these issues in the past. So based on that information, we can extrapolate some information, some data. We can probably predict relatively correctly that they are going to predict this way on these other issues. Maybe they're related issues. Okay, great. We have one intransitive, which is to perform the act or process of extrapolating. Yep. Extrapolation is a noun. Extrapolative is an adjective, and extrapolator is a noun. The superhero that's just gathering information, and then they're just sitting on a pile of information. This word is from the Latin extra, which means outside. From the English, well, there's really not that much here. The English suffix polate, as in interpolate. It doesn't say what that means, though. And then there's more at the prefix extra. Extrapolate. Extrapolate. Phone home. Next we have extrapyramidal. Extrapyramidal. The word pyramid is in there. This is an adjective from circa 1902. Situated outside of the pyramidal tracts. Tracts, T-R-A-C-T-S. The pyramidal tracts are these things here, and this thing that's extra pyramidal is outside of those pyramidal tracts. But also, involving descending nerve tracts other than the pyramidal tracts. And now I definitely need to look up pyramidal, then try to spell good. Pyramidal tracts. What are these nerves in the body? Ooh, they are. The pyramidal tracts are part of the UMN system and are a system of efferent nerve fibers that carry signals from the cerebral cortex to either the brainstem or the spinal cord. I did not know about these. The AI says the pyramidal tracts. Why is my eyeball? It's funny that in about 4 or 5 episodes, we're going to have the episode for the word eye, and I want to get a guest on that one. The pyramidal tracts are a group of nerve fibers that control voluntary movement in the body. Maybe my pyramidal tracts are screwing up because my mouth doesn't want to do the things that it should do. So let's put a link in the show notes for pyramidal tracts. Why are they pyramidal? Is there a pyramid shape somewhere in this thing? I don't know. Maybe the link will tell us. So, this extra pyramidal is just something that is outside of those nerve fibers. Why you would want to be describing something as separate from the nerve fibers, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's a good reason. Doctors and such have good reasons for that. But there is this second part of it, which is descending nerve. So, yeah, you're talking about other nerve tracts that are not the pyramidal tract. So those would also be extra pyramidal. Extra pyramidal. Phone home. Next is extrasensory. One word. Adjective from 1934. This is residing beyond or outside the ordinary senses. We know our five senses, but what is outside of those? What are there other senses? Do you have senses that are separate from the five main senses? Or do you... I don't think you can say that if you're like... And I talked about this a little while back, I remember. If you are blind, if you can't see with your eyeballs, your sense of hearing goes beyond normal, beyond the average person. You have this amazing sense of hearing. But would that be considered extrasensory? I don't think so, because this is saying it is outside or beyond the ordinary senses. Well, the beyond ordinary senses, if you have a heightened sense of hearing, then that would be beyond the average hearing, the average sense. But I don't know if you can call, I mean, maybe, I don't know. Some people could probably argue for that. I don't know. I'm just right in the middle of this argument. But I want something that's extrasensory. What would that be? You know, we talk about ESP. Maybe that was where this was brought up, extrasensory perception, which is our next word. So let's just talk about that. Okay? Phone home. Extrasensory perception, two words, noun from 1934. Okay, let's do this. Perception, as in telepathy, clairvoyance, and precognition, that involves awareness of information about events external to the self, not gained through the senses, and not deducible from previous experience. Woo. Okay, I mean, so this is a thing. It's also called ESP. This is a thing that some people say that they have, and it's very hard to disprove that. You know, people have been, I think there was a guy who was like, I will give you a whole buttload of money if you can prove to me that you have this psychic ability, this ESP, something along those lines. And nobody could do it. Nobody has ever once done this. That doesn't mean that there aren't people. You know, the world is a crazy place. There's a whole lot of things that we just don't know. So it's possible that there are people out there who have this ESP. I don't think I do, even though my initials are in there. Extra Spencer Parks. That's what I'm going to say that is now. But there are times when there's just some weird stuff that happens. Weird coincidences. I'm starting to feel like there are no coincidences and everything is just the way it is. I don't know. You know, I remember when my wife and I were dating, we were living in separate places and we would like text each other the same thing at the same time or something like that. We had so many weird coincidences like that. You know, thinking of a thing, thinking of somebody, and then they call you. You know, there's all these weird things that happen. And so, like, is that some form of ESP that you're not conscious of? I don't know, maybe, possibly. Telepathy, clairvoyance, precognition. Telepathy, like being able to read somebody's mind, I think that would be basically telepathy. Clairvoyance. What's the definition of clairvoyance? Similar to probably precognition, knowing something before it happens, pre-knowledge. In Minority Report, there were those people who were called precogs, I think, because they had precognition. They knew things before it would happen. They had a whole system, whole legal system based on those people. I don't know if I would want something like this. I think it would be interesting to, like, know what people are thinking, but, like, knowing the future, knowing for sure that something's going to happen, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I have it, but you don't know until something happens. I mean, I think a lot of us have had those interesting experiences where you're like, you think something's happened. You could have a weird dream, and then it happens. How many stories of those have we heard? I know for sure Sharon, she has had some, on multiple occasions, she has had some weird experiences, emotions flooding in, a weird dream, and then somebody died. Usually a very old person. So she probably has something. I think a lot of her family members have something like this. Maybe it's genetic. How in tune are you to this spiritual side, if that exists? I don't think I'm very in tune with that, and I don't know why. I would like to be. But can you train yourself? Can you practice? How do you practice? I don't know. Okay, that was a lot of extrasensory perception talk. That would be for sure extrasensory because it's outside of your five senses. There's no, your five senses aren't giving you this information. It's something else. A sixth sense where you see dead people. A seventh sense. Okay. Phone home. The next word is extrasolar or extrasolar. Adjective from 1872. Originating or existing outside the solar system, which is our sun and our planet and the other planets. And there's some other stuff in there as well. But beyond the reaches of the sun's energy kind of stops it. It dies out at a certain point, way, way out there past Pluto. And that anything past that is extrasolar. Outside of the solar system, as in extrasolar planets. Now, we just call those exoplanets now. So literally every single planet in the universe that is not in our solar system would technically be considered an extrasolar planet, I guess. Are there planets? Never really thought about this, I don't think. Are there planets that are not in a solar system that don't go around a star? Would those just be considered comets if they're like, but maybe they're just sitting, they're not really, I don't know. Interesting thought. There must be something. Maybe they're just comets. Phone home. The next word is extrasystole. S-Y-S-T-O-L-E. One word, extrasystole. Noun from circa 1900. This is a premature beat of one of the chambers of the heart that leads to momentary arrhythmia. So your heart pumps first on your right side and then on the left side. It pumps from the right side into the left chambers and then out of the left chambers into the body, the arm, the aorta. Goes down your left side, and then it comes back around. Ba-boom, 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 right? That's what it's doing. So this extrasystole is a premature beat of one of the chambers of the heart. I guess if one part of your heart beats a little too early or an extra beat maybe, that would be extrasystole because it's outside of the normal systole. Is diastole or something the other word? It's outside of that normal system, and that can make your heart go, bleh! What? Phone home. The next word is extraterrestrial. First form. You can say extraterrestrial. Adjective from 1848. This is originating, existing, or occurring outside the Earth or its atmosphere, as in extraterrestrial life. We are calling this extraterrestrial because our land, our planet, is the terrestrial. It's like, you know, the ter- T-E-R-R prefix is all about land and stuff like that. So outside of our land, outside of our Earth, is extraterrestrial. Those other planets are extraterrestrial life. There's going to be life out there somewhere. It's extraterrestrial. And the word just means outside of this planet. That's all it is. Phone home? Phone home. Next is the second form of extraterrestrial. This is a noun from 1950, an extraterrestrial being. So right there, that's extraterrestrial life. But we are just calling them an extraterrestrial. And then 32 years later, Steven Spielberg said, I'm going to turn that word into a movie, and it's going to make all of you cry. And I'm just going to call it E.T., the extraterrestrial. Even though usually when you abbreviate something to letters like that, you're using the first letter of words, but he's using the first letter of the word E and then just the T, but it's all one word. Extraterrestrial is one word. E.T. It's just E.T. I think that was either the first movie I saw in the theater or the first non-animated movie I saw in the theater. And I literally must have been like 2 or 3 years old when I saw that. I was pretty young and it freaked me out. And it was a long time, I think, before I rewatched it. Extraterrestrial. I mean, that's what the phone home comes from. You should probably know that, right? So it's an intense movie. Phone home. I don't really know how to do his voice. I don't remember it. Is he even a he? I don't know. Next is extraterritorial, adjective from 1869. Existing or taking place outside the territorial limits of a jurisdiction. Oh, sorry, that's not my jurisdiction. My jurisdiction goes right up to that stump. But it happened past that stump, so you got to take care of it yourself. That's my stump, and you have that thing over there. Fernherm. Next is extraterritoriality. Is that right? Extraterritoriality. Noun from 1836. Extraterritoriality. Exemption from the application or jurisdiction of local law or tribunals. Exemption from the application or jurisdiction of local law. Like, I don't need to, I'm not part of your law. I have extraterritoriality. I am outside your territory, your territory. And so your laws don't apply to me. Ha ha ha, bloop, I will poke you in the face. Which is against the law, but over here on my territory, it's not against the law. And I can poke you in the face all I want. Pokey, pokey, pokey. You can't do anything about it. Phone home! The next word is extratextual, or just extratextual. Adjective from 1961, of, relating to, or being something outside a literary text. What are you describing as extratextual outside? Okay, I think this is essentially reading between the lines, which I was never good at. Maybe now in my 40s, I'm starting to get better at it. What are they saying that's not in the actual text, that's not in the letters and the words? I think my fellow people on the autism spectrum, I'm very low on the autism spectrum. There's obviously, it's a range. There's people very high, very low, all in between. But I think this is a common thing for a lot of them that we tend to be very literal. And if it's not in the text, if it's not in the words right there on the page, it's not where my brain goes. I don't think about that. So I always had trouble with that in school. And so these would be extratextual. What are they saying? What are they thinking? What is the author trying to get across by what they're not saying, maybe, reading between the lines? Well, there's no words in between the lines. That's just space. How am I supposed to read between the lines? It was a troubling thing for me. But you know, I've grown, I've changed, I've evolved, I'm learning. The dictionary doesn't... You wouldn't think that it has anything that's extra textual in that way, but maybe there is. Maybe in the examples, the writers are trying to tell us something, and I haven't been paying attention. Maybe we should pay attention to the extra textual things in the dictionary. Phone home. Next is extratropical cyclone. Two words. Noun from 1923. A cyclone in the middle or high latitudes, often containing a cold front that extends toward the equator for hundreds of miles. Woo! Extratropical. So the middle or high latitudes, often containing a cold front. So, you know, the tropical regions, I think that's like... So if the equator is 0 degrees, 15 degrees above and below that, I think, is like the Tropic of Cancer, the Tropic of Capricorn, something like that. So I guess that 30-degree area would be the tropics. Maybe it goes a little beyond that. I'm not sure. But this is outside of the tropical region. A cyclone, a hurricane, probably. If it's in the water, it'd be a hurricane outside of the tropics. And maybe these are rare. I would think that they would be rare. It's like, oh, some crazy weather system up there. Let's put a link in the show notes for extra, what is it? Extra tropical cyclone. Sure, why not? Phone home, I gotta call home. He's like Dorothy. He just wants to get home. Next is extra uterine or extra uterine. Adjective from 1709, situated or occurring outside the uterus, as in extra uterine pregnancy. And that is not at all where the pregnancy should be happening. This is a pregnancy that is not going to work. It is not viable. This is, I wonder how are they dealing with this? With all of these abortion laws now, in the United States, how are they dealing with these types of pregnancies, these non-viable pregnancies? Interesting. Something, yeah. I believe. Well, you know, let's just do a quick little Google search. Not in the images, though. I don't think I want to look at the images for extrauterine. Let's see. I want to see something that just is like, this is not possible. I want to confirm full-term abdominal extrauterine pregnancy. This is a scientific thing. Maybe it... Let's read the title first. Full-term abdominal extrauterine pregnancy complicated by post-operative ascites with successful outcome. Okay. Maybe it's possible? Physiology of transition from intrauterine to extrauterine life. Or maybe once you were born, you are extrauterine. You know what? This is a complicated situation. And, Oh, okay, yes, literally, the first stage of life occurs in the first 30 minutes of life. During the stage, that's when you are born, you are extrauterine. We are all extrauterine right now. If you are listening or watching this, you are extrauterine, an extrauterine person, because you are not in the uterus anymore. Yeah, I feel like maybe I should put a link in the show notes for specifically extrauterine pregnancy, because that's what I'm mostly curious about. What does this link say? Let's wait for it to load. Ooh, this is from the National Cancer Institute? Interesting. Load faster, you silly goose. Well, I guess we're not... Okay. A condition in which a fertilized egg grows outside the uterus, usually in one of the fallopian tubes. Yep, that's a specific example of that. I don't know where else it would be. Symptoms include sharp pain on one side of the abdomen and bleeding from the vagina, also called ectopic pregnancy. And we talked about that back in the EC section. So I think sometimes maybe they can, I hope maybe they can move it into the uterus, but I don't know. I'm not an OBGYN, contrary to common belief. Phone home. The next word is extravagance, noun from 1640. 1A, an instance of excess or prodigality? Prodigality, maybe that's how it's pronounced. But specifically, an excessive outlay of money. So much money, showing off your money, buying a bunch of stupid stuff just because you got a lot of money. This is what happens to a lot of people when they get a lot of money, is that they just start being extravagant. They have extravagance when they're, look at my cars, look at my house, look at my money bills. That's what they say. Prodigality. Interesting word. 1B is something extravagant, as in a new car is an extravagance we can't afford. But I want this thing. I want this new 8K super fancy TV. No, that's an extravagance. It's too much. We can't afford it. It's a waste of money. You don't need it. You can settle with your 4K. Okay, fine. I'll get a 4K TV. Someday I will get a... I still don't have one. Yep, extravagance is something extravagant. 2, the quality or fact of being extravagant, as in the extravagance of the decorations. Oh, they went overboard with their decorations. They put too, it's too busy, too many decorations. That Christmas tree is extravagant. I just looked ahead to see, do we have any more related extravagant words in the next episode? And yes, we have a fun one at the top of the page, but I can't tell you what it is now. Phone home. E.T.'s voice is changing a lot. The next word is extravagancy, noun from 1625. The synonym is extravagance. Phone home. I really need to get home because I'm dying here. The last word is extravagant. E-X-T-R-A-V-A-G-A-N-T. How many A's? 1, 2, 3. Not as many as it felt like. But they with R-A-V-A-G-A, every other letter. Extravagant. Adjective from the 15th century. Number 1A is obsolete, and the synonyms are strange and curious. Ooh, so those weird things at the circus are, they're so extravagant. 1B is archaic, and the synonym is wandering. Maybe the etymology is going to have a little bit to say about both of these definitions. 2A, exceeding the limits of reason or necessity, as in extravagant claims. Don't claim that. Don't claim that I stole your water. That's an extravagant claim. It's exceeding the limits of reason. So stop with your extravagant claims. 2B, lacking in moderation, balance, and restraint, as in extravagant praise. Lacking in moderation, there's no moderation, there's no balance, there's no restraint in all that praise that I've been getting. It's so beyond any sort of balance. You don't hold back. Give me some praise, but have no restraint. Just give it to me 130%, please. Extravagant praise. Oh, sorry, I don't deserve your extravagant claims. Praise. I don't deserve your extravagant praise. Please, just give me regular praise. 2C is extremely or excessively elaborate, as in an extravagant display. I remember going as a kid to I guess it was Marshall Fields, the Christmas windows in Marshall Fields around, you know, in December. And were those extravagant? I don't know. That's just the first thing that popped in my mind. as extravagant displays. Window after window after window. They put so much work into those. They were very cool. 3A. Spending much more than necessary, as in, has always been extravagant with her money. Then how does she have any money left over? If she's spending more than she should or can, it's not necessary to spend so much money. She must be making a lot of money then. 3B. The synonyms are profuse and lavish. Lavish. Live in that lavish lifestyle. I can only poop on a golden toilet. Is that extravagant? I don't know. That's up to the eye of the beholder. Number 4, the last one, extremely or unreasonably high in price, as in an extravagant purchase. This podcast is not extravagant because it is free. No price. You can watch this. You can listen to it for no price. What's the opposite of extravagant? Intravagant? What else was I going to say about that? Something so expensive. Oh, and the Patreon is also not extravagant. $1 a month gets you very, very early episodes. So, you know, $1 is not extravagant at all. The prices, with all this stupid inflation, the prices are getting extravagant. I can't handle them. A synonym is the word excessive, and extravagantly is an adverb. Okay, now we have to look at the etymology for this word first. Let's see. This is from the Latin prefix extra, which means outside, and then vagant or vagans, which is from the verb vagari, which means to wander about, and also from vagus, or no, they would say wagus. The other word is wagari. Wagus means wandering. Okay, so wandering outside. You're wandering about. That's what this word used to mean. How? I find it strange and curious that this went from wandering about to expensive and too much, too just excessive. What happened there? Why to just wandering about? That's an interesting one. Maybe we need to look at Etym Online for extravagant to see if there's any like any additional information about the evolution of that. I don't know. That's an interesting one. I'm going to pick a word of the episode because I want to pick the best one. Today we had extra point, extrapolate, extra pyramidal, extra sensory perception, extra solar, extra systole, extraterrestrial, extraterritoriality, extra textual, extra tropical cyclone, extra uterine, extravagance, extravagancy, and extravagant. Well, okay, I mean, a lot of these I definitely don't have any strong opinions about. I think I'm going to just pick extrasensory perception as the word of the episode. Two words. I don't have extrasensory perception, but I wish I did. And that's the end of the song. Okay, great. I will tell you about another movie I watched. I saw the TV Glow. I think that's what it's called. And it was a very interesting, moody movie. Visually very beautiful. And I was very disappointed to see a couple people left. They walked out of the movie in, I don't know, within the first half hour. And I was like, give it a chance. Come on. But yeah, it was, I'm trying to think. I don't know what I thought it was going to be. It goes off in some very interesting directions. I don't know if it was quite as satisfying as I hoped it would be. I think I had heard a lot of people say it was really, really great, so I had expectations at a certain level, and it was just like, oh, well, I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked it. But yeah, it was just, it was a little, it could have gone further. I think if it was longer, I would have enjoyed seeing more, actually. But they didn't go there, and that's okay. It's the filmmaker's decision. But it was definitely a thinker. I was like, ooh, okay, they're going in directions, and it was lots of places. And I was I would love to talk to the filmmaker actually about what. But you know what? But then maybe you're like, you just gotta let the art speak for itself. Maybe I don't know, but I liked it, and visually it was very cool and interesting characters. And yeah, I'd say go watch it. Go watch it. I saw the TV glow. TV. That's a huge theme in that movie. Ooh, just TVs, screens, all that stuff. Okay. This is the end of the episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show. And until next time, I will be reading your thoughts with my extrasensory perception, and I will also be dispensing information. Goodbye.